Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We came into the game expecting to win. I'm expecting to win. We came in confident.
Pass is high in the air and picked. And this one is hit in the air and picked off. Pass is picked by Gilmore.
Dale Arnold.
He calls himself the squirrel. And most importantly, whenever he gets a chance, he gets that nut.
What now?
Rich Keefe.
I walked a mile with sorrow. And never one word did she.
Dale and Keith, middays.
False sense of security Friday?
False sense of security that Friday. It. That might work.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI, and the Heart WEEI.com is in the house as well. We talked yesterday when we were on the air about the numbers. John Buchegras tweeted them out. Patriots 27-0 at home against starting quarterbacks under the age of 25 since 2001. Make it 28-0. Patriots have now won 19 straight games against first or second year starting quarterbacks, longest streak in NFL history. Boy, did Daniel Jones look a little verklempt.
He did. He definitely looked a little overmatched. What does that mean?
I don't know. I'm just wondering. You answered like you knew what I mean.
Oh, well, Linda Richmond used to say it. Yeah, he did. Linda Richmond used to say it all the time. I remember her saying it, and she was really good. But
he had no weapons, too, remember.
Golden Tate, he's a rookie quarterback. Made a nice play on the touchdown, obviously. But everybody else, you gave him nothing. Everybody was hurt for
Hilleman them. Hilleman guy? Nope, nothing.
Nah, I don't think so. Don't think he's going to get it done.
So I actually thought Daniel Jones kind of held his own.
Yeah, you
bit
certainly
there.
Can't write the guy off by any means.
It wasn't like a Nate Peterman,
the other quarterbacks they faced this year. He still threw three picks.
I was going to say, that's sort of.
Stephon Gilmore was in his dome.
It's both a compliment and an insult.
So he was average.
He's the best quarterback they faced.
What do they have? They have 14 interceptions as now in six games? Something figure like that.
Something
so
silly.
It's, you know, 2.5 a game. So he's an average quarterback against them.
as it turns out.
What they do.
Yeah.
So Tucker Boynton, the stats guy for Barstool Sports, he defines the boogeyman, as Kyle Van Noy, Collins, Hightower, Bentley, Simon, Roberts, Winovich, Calhoun, Munson, King, Rivers. That's the group.
Well, Van Noy defined it because Van Noy was taking samples. He wants to do T-shirts, asking people to create some stuff, and he said, "I want all these guys on it."
Well,
like Munson even makes
that
the cut.
Group, just those guys, for this year. Have 16 sacks, 123 tackles, 18 tackles for loss, 30 quarterback hits, 4 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries, 4 interceptions, and 3 touchdowns.
And to be fair, a lot of that is Jamie Collins.
I was going to say, Jamie Collins has been the defensive MVP of the season. I mean, he has been so good. Not that he's the best player. You still got Aaron Donald, you still got Khalil Mack. But what Jamie Collins has been doing with the interceptions and the sacks, the leads the team in tackles, like whatever you need him to do. And that's why we're saying, well, last year's defense was good. This year's defense is much better. It's a lot of the same guys. True, but one of the big key additions is Jamie Collins. They're just that group, I guess we're calling them the Pokemon.
Well, that's what they're calling them.
Super athletic.
Oh, it's sticking. Once
super
you
athletic.
Have t-shirts,
no,
it's sticking.
Not.
Oh,
you can come up with t-shirts with anything.
No,
you
but just the players themselves are coming up with the t-shirts. And the guy we're going to talk to in
but
a few minutes has sort of mocked the nickname.
Right.
He has.
It's a self-appointed nickname.
Okay, so?
Those don't work. Those
are we sure
stick.
None of the others were self-appointed? Who came up with Legion of Boom? Who came up with Steel Curtain?
Probably a
Who
blogger.
Who came up with Purple People Eaters?
Probably a blogger.
I don't think it was blogger.
Not with the Purple People Eaters.
Or probably a tweeter. Probably a tweeter.
It wasn't that.
Might have been.
You're not getting there. Weren't those things back then?
Wait a minute, really?
So if you use standard scoring, the fantasy football scoring leaders for this
and
year.
And I do.
This year.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey is first.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson is second.
He's good.
Pat Mahomes is third. Deshaun Watson is fourth. The Patriots' defense and special teams is fifth.
Well, it's crazy. I mean, they're scoring touchdowns, and that's what Michael Irvin was talking about, too. It's one thing to have a good defense, and they stop you, and they force you to punt, and hey, offense, you get the ball back. But this is like 2000 Ravens-esque, where the Ravens didn't even really need the offense to score because they were good for a score every week.
But in this era, it's far more impressive.
It is
the
much
rules,
more impressive.
The offenses, the way
much
things.
Much more impressive.
I mean, remember what we were talking about like this time a year ago? You were coming off the Rams-Chiefs 54-50 or whatever, and everybody's
right.
like,
Loved
is
it.
The league broken? Are yeah. the rules broken?
I was like, more points.
And now a year later, we fast forward, and we're talking about the Patriots having an historic defense, putting up numbers themselves.
Yeah.
So apparently the rules aren't broken. You can still
I
do it if
not.
You have the talent,
but,
and you play some bad teams. We'll see how it
goes. You play some bad teams, you block some punts, but also these guys are also good at getting the ball and trying to score with it. It's not... Kyle Van Noy doesn't grab the ball and pounce on it and say, hey, let's turn it over to the offense. Nope, it's the old scoop and score.
And he went airborne, dove for the pylon.
Even Simon, you know, comes up with the pick with his back to the end zone, turns around, tries to pick up as many yards as he can. Like these guys, and then it's infectious because now all these guys, whether they're a part of the boogeyman or not, Dale, it doesn't matter. They all want to be the next guy to come up with the turnover, the next guy that's going to score the touchdown. And they just, I've never seen a group of guys have that much fun. Like when they're on the sideline, they're all going crazy together.
Would the way they're playing,
definitely would.
The energy that they're bringing,
and then
and
the flip
it's
side,
the exact opposite down the other end.
This guy's down the dumps.
Joining us on the line right now is New England Patriots defensive back Devin McCourty. Our conversation with Devin is brought to you by Town Fair Tire and Big Y World Class Market. Good morning, Devin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good. Doing great, thanks. We were talking about the boogeyman. You don't like that nickname, do you?
I mean, I guess it fits them. I'm not big on nicknames, but it seemed like it caught on pretty well last night. People had signs and everything.
It does seem like it's going to stick. I'm
T-shirts
not a big fan
are coming.
Of, yeah, the self-appointed nicknames I'm not wild about, but the defense is definitely worthy of a nickname. You guys have been that good. The streak, I guess, did have to come to an end. You finally allowed a passing touchdown week 6. In the season, and especially in 2019, is crazy. And I think it was almost fitting, Devin, that on the passing touchdown that was allowed, Jonathan Jones actually played great defense on the play.
Tipped the ball, and it just happened to tip right up in the air. So he was pissed about it on the sideline. But that's something we talk about, man. If people are going to make plays on us, let's make it hard and make them have to make a great play. You know, it was a good ball. Jay Jones only got, you know, 3 fingers on it to set on 5, and that was probably the difference. But, you know, sometimes the ball bounces their way.
Devin, you guys have been throwing a quote around that I actually, not a humble brag here, just a little self-awareness. If you don't score, you can't win. I tell my youth lacrosse goalies that. They usually roll their eyes at me when I say that to them. How come you guys have embraced that? And are you guys literally taking the field with that mentality that there's a possibility we hold the opponent scoreless today?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how, you know, we think. And I think... even more than that, we've always thought that if we could hold teams to not scoring a lot of points with the offense we have had here through the years, like we know they're going to put up points. So if we could just keep the points down and not make the game a shootout, we always thought that. And now I think we're just so in tune to each other that we're making it hard for teams to score a point. And I think that's a mentality we got to keep making it tough for teams. You know, we play games where we've given up no points, 3 points. You know, this game 14. You know, 7 of it. On an offensive play, but like we got to keep doing those things. We give up 14 points, our offense is going to find ways usually to score more than 14.
We were talking with Michael Irvin earlier in the program, and he talked about the ball hawking. You guys are turnover machines. We've seen good Patriots defenses in the past who didn't necessarily make the plays that you guys seem to be making now. Is that the biggest difference?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody is really in tune to getting to the ball. We've done a good job of making sure that, you know, Steph tips one up. We got like 3 guys around there trying to see who the ball drops to on the play where Jamie causes the fumble. You know, I die for it. KV comes out of nowhere. But with KV is Jay Jones, is Deron. Like, it's so many people that could have picked that ball up. That's something we continue to talk about, you know, pressure, disguise, and then everybody getting to the ball.
When Jamie Collins was first here, Devin, he was a very productive player. He was a Pro Bowler. I remember being shocked, and I wasn't alone when he got traded when he did. Now that he's back, I mean, he looks like the defensive MVP of the season. What have you noticed in his game in his return here?
The same thing, like you said. You know, you take a guy that was very productive as a young guy, and he continues to grow and get better as a player and understand more football. Like, that's what you're seeing, you know, and it's been amazing to watch. A guy that, you know, leaves for a year and a half or 2 years, whatever it was, and comes back and kind of doesn't miss a beat because this was home for him. You know, he came here as a young guy, developed here, and getting to come back, I think he really he's very grateful for it, and, you know, we really appreciate, you know, I think not just what he brings to the field, but his leadership, his passion on the field. He's always getting guys going. He's always talking trash to everybody. So he's been great to have back in the locker room.
Devin, you've obviously been on this defense for quite a while, and I've heard this philosophy idea that something has changed, that Matt Patricia, when he left, there was a certain bend but don't break style, and then Brian Flores and now Mayo and Steve Belichick and everybody have been more aggressive, and it's a different philosophy on defense. Is there any truth to that, or are you guys just playing better?
Zero truth to that. Someone asked me that last night. My 10 years here, I've never heard that we're going to be a bend but don't break defense. So we've always continued to preach the same things, playing good football, turning the ball over, and the biggest thing we still talk about is situational football, third down, red area. And if you look, those are the things we're doing well, and that's how we're playing good defense.
You got dinged up last night, but also teammates Josh Gordon, Patrick Chung, Matt Lacoste, Dante Hightower, Jakob Johnson, and J.C. Jackson all got hurt last night. I'm not saying it's tied into Thursday night football, but it can't help, can it?
Nah, Matt Slater just told me. He said, I mean, Thursday night football, all these injuries. So if we could get the owners and the rest of the league to listen to Matt Slater, I think we'd be in a better off position.
Well, Devin, you know how the rumors work. A lot of talk about possible Antonio Brown return. Would you welcome him back into the locker room?
I'm done. I'm not answering any Antonio Brown questions.
Let's talk about the break that you have here. You're at the facility today, but you'll get the weekend off. You'll get to Monday and get back to work. But what does this mini break mean here 6 weeks into the season?
Man, I remember when this mini break meant like a lot of me time, doing exactly what I wanted. 32 years old, wife and kids. I got a kid's birthday party tonight. My wife's playing some pumpkin patch on Sunday, so I'm looking forward for the few hours that I get to just lay down on the couch and get away from her and the kids. So we'll see how it works out.
And you know she looked up the schedule, too, and was like, all right, what's Sunday you're not playing? Pumpkin patch it is.
She was on it. She was talking about this on Tuesday.
Devin, we appreciate the time as always. Congratulations on the win and 6-0, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks Take Devin. Care. That is Devin McCourty. He's not going near.
Nope.
Antonio nope. Brown.
So. And I think that could be a common theme.
I think that's a directive, don't you?
Well, yeah, of course.
But I think even if he's brought back, don't go to those guys
also
asking about him.
Also still not going to talk about it.
We talked about it at
Which
the time.
Understandable.
When Matthew Slater had to talk about Antonio Brown coming the first time.
Yeah, he wasn't
And
thrilled.
Basically said, I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. I'm up here as a captain, not talking for myself.
Representative of the team.
I think this time you may see the first time where Matthew Slater says, nope, guys, get me tomorrow. I'm good. I'm not talking about this.
But I actually really appreciated how he answered that. It wasn't the, I'm talking about the Jets, or I'm talking about the Giants, or I'm not here, and just, afraid to say his name. Right. He's like, I'm not talking about Antonio Brown.
I'm done. I'm not answering any Antonio Brown questions.
Fair enough.
Which is interesting, because he very rarely shuts anything down.
True.
Very,
That's a good
very
point.
Very rarely.
That's true.
Find
he does
that
TV with Kern all the time, right? Like
He used to. I mean, and he's a guy you can go to the locker room, ask him something, and he'll find a way to answer it or politely decline. That was just, not doing it.
He mentioned Matthew Slater, who before the Thursday night game talked about you can't claim to care about player safety and continue to have Thursday night football. And then the list that I read off here,
right.
I mean, the guys who got dinged up last night, and I'm not saying they're all related to Thursday night football, but you have to kind of wonder.
Yeah. But how can you connect those dots?
What, that the guys get hurt because of Thursday?
Yeah. Like,
I don't know if you can necessarily, but when you hear from so many players that it takes them a while for their bodies to recover.
Yes.
And now all of a sudden you have two or three walkthroughs, and then for one of the teams a travel day, and then the next thing you know you're playing a game again. And if your body is sort of more used to the once a week type of game action, and now it's shorter, and because again all the injuries were different, so it's you're right. You can't just say these guys only got hurt because they
scared me to death.
Right, but how do you tie that to it's a short?
No,
week?
No,
it's
you
just
don't.
A freak way that he went down.
And I'm not saying any of these can be tied to it.
Right,
but I wonder if some can.
And I also think there's a layer here, like he mentioned. You know, if the owners would listen to Matthew Slater, we'd be in a better whatever. There's a negotiation that's going on in the media and in the back rooms. There's a CBA on the horizon. This is all part of the back and forth because we've heard 18 games are off the table, but 17 games are on the table. And preseason alterations and marijuana and obviously money will always be on the table.
Yeah.
And there are various chips that each side is getting ready, right? And then what am I putting in and what are you taking out and how are we balancing this out?
Well,
so
the owners
think it's a chip.
They just keep adding things to make sure that guaranteed money never happens. Right. They can just keep adding, like, all right, we'll take this.
Because nobody wants to go backwards. I mean, look at the scramble you're seeing in the NBA where they're potentially preparing for a 15% drop in the salary cap and how that affects max deals.
Right.
Because they're not going that way.
But the players, and again, not to spend a ton of time on this the day after a game, but the players are, they're willing to say, oh, less padded practices and all this stuff. You're like, well, really? Like, the owners don't care about that. Now
and
the
they're
product,
like, I'll take another percent of the $17 billion.
Yeah, like, and now it's like teams can't tackle because they don't practice it.
Right.
These Thursday game, I hate the Thursday game, but I know that, you know, Diossi was in yesterday, and he was trying to spin it on the other side. He goes, well, they only do it once a year. Right? So he's like, yeah, it sucks for those guys
once
a
year. But it's that week that you have to do it. And who knows what'll happen here. But if three of these guys suddenly can't play the Monday night game against the Jets, if Dante Hightower and Josh Gordon and Patrick Chung are all out, that Thursday night game hurts you.
But they might have been out from Sunday
to
Monday night anyway.
The thing.
It's
like,
so
you don't
hard
know
to
for
prove.
Sure.
And I actually, last night, Devin's press conference, he was a little bit more positive about Thursday night football. He said it's a killer week to get ready.
But it's more of a blessing
on the back end
right.
yeah.
when you have that extended time off.
And
now,
then,
he doesn't seem to love the idea that he... Did he say, quote, I got to find some time to get away from my wife?
Yeah,
is that what I heard
who wants to go to a pumpkin patch? So I don't really blame
it's
him for
terrible.
That. Yeah, it's not.
Because you can go to, like, the warehouse store and get
a
pumpkin for, like, $6.
Yeah,
you
fine.
Go to those
go to Whole
places.
Foods. It's right there out front.
You pull
that's
the
a day.
Wagon around.
No, that's a day.
Takes forever. And then you get out and you pay, and they're like, okay, that'll be $100. And you're like, for pumpkins?
I have two pumpkins.
I have two pumpkins.
Keith, you're lucky because your daughter's too young right now. Next year.
She's gonna be out there with the wagon.
Yeah, you're going to be out there with a wagon.
I'll tell her there are no pumpkin patches anymore. We'll just pick one up at the store.
My wife's planting some pumpkin patch on Sunday. So.
Yeah, that's not what you want. And also, the schedule's kind of weird, too. Like, they gave them the extra day, which they didn't really need. Like,
yeah, the Monday game.
You'd almost want the Monday following a Sunday game.
And an extra day on a short trip. It's New York.
Yeah.
Right?
They didn't really do them any favors there on that one, but... Anyway, back-to-back primetime games against against New York.
Love these, Dale, these late nights.
You don't see a 1 o'clock game until, like, December now or something.
Yeah, it is. It's December 15th as the next 1 o'clock game against Cincinnati, week 15.
But as Bill says, for every long day, there's a short day.
Well, he's not wrong.
Wow.
Or is he?
That was deep and Zen-like, wasn't it?
They're actually all 24 hours.
Yeah, they seem to be the same number. All right, let's get to the call. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Magnus is up in Maine. Hey, Magnus.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
How are you?
Good. So, from what I saw this past Sunday night with the Colts running all over the Chiefs, I wanted to know, and I know they have a great offensive line, I wanted to know by week 14, if we can get our line to that spot, do you think the Patriots are going to do a run-first kind of offense?
They better not the way they ran last night.
Yeah, that's a good question.
If they can get to that spot where they're running the ball well like they were, say, last postseason.
Right.
I don't believe that's going to be the case. David Andrews isn't coming back. Trent Brown, the mountain of a left tackle that was part of that, isn't coming back. Your best hope is a guy who, yes, he's a first-round pick, who's played a game and a quarter, and you're putting all your eggs
and he's
saying,
the savior all of a sudden.
He's going to be great. You'd be seeking continuity if he had played all year. You'd still be saying, well, Isaiah Wynn's only in his sixth game at left tackle, and he's missed all but a game and a quarter.
And maybe we can get into this. We can unpack it a little bit more coming up. But
nice line talk.
Sony Michel. No, well, line tough stuff as it relates to Sony Michel.
Yeah, I when I'm watching Michel, I'm wondering, okay, how much of this is his fault? And how much of this is there's nowhere to go?
Because I know last night a lot of people were talking about it. They were getting upset at Sony Michel. And I saw Tommy Curran saying, it's not the back, it's the front, talking about the offensive line.
Right.
Damian Woody, former lineman, he was saying, it's definitely the front. They did a great overhead view one time on the goal line where the offensive line got zero push.
Yes.
At best, they were at the line of scrimmage, and like four of the five guys were in the backfield. So that's brutal. At the same time, what do the Patriots really think of Sony Michel if Tom Brady has to do two QB sneaks and Brandon Bolden is now a goal line back?
Yeah, when it takes three runs on first and goal from the two.
Like that's,
well, you got two runs from third and one and fourth and one and got nothing. So they learned from those runs.
But those
were over the best part of their line. They ran right. It's supposed to be Shaq Mason and Marcus Cannon. Those are your veteran guys. Make good money. That's the power we're going to run behind.
Right.
And we need to remember, Sony Michel's a first-round running back. This isn't.
Thank you.
Oh, he was a third round pick, and all the holes just
undrafted
aren't there.
Undrafted free agent.
Because guess what?
First round running back.
The offensive line was really good. Well, very good last year, and Sony Michel also wasn't great at short yardage. Now, come playoff time, you know, things looked a lot better. But remember, regular season, he wouldn't pick up all those goal line carries. He wasn't like LeGarrette Blount, who would get in the end zone. So that was a problem then. And I just think, yeah, whether the offensive line is good, bad, somewhere in the middle. If you're giving carries to Brandon Bolden, who covers punts and kicks over Sony Michel, that tells you what they think of Sony Michel.
And I just want to speak for myself.
Okay.
Anytime they put another running back in, he seems to get more out of the play. Whether it's Brandon Bolden, whether it's Rex Burkhead, those guys seem to get more out of whatever play is called. I have yet to see a play this year where, or I shouldn't say yet to, but very few times have I seen Sony Michel and said, yep. He really maximized what was available. He not only got what they blocked, he got a little bit more. I always see a guy who seems to be sort of hesitant, looking for the hole, dancing, and then has no burst. Even when there's a hole, it's like he doesn't have that quick step. He looks like Le'Veon Bell with the patience,
yeah,
but without the burst after the patience to pick up the nice yardage.
Players with a higher average yards per carry than Sony Michel, Rex Burkhead, James White, Brandon Bolden, Julian Edelman, Philip Dorsett, Antonio Brown.
And Andy Hart. and you guys may mock me here. I'm a well-known fan of this guy, but I don't discount the lack of James Devlin.
No,
I know they
fair.
Weren't great when he was
fair.
On the field the first couple weeks, and he's gone now. But Sony Michel has admitted that there were times last year where they almost literally told him, 46, see the number, follow the number. That's the run play. Just follow where he goes, and he's lost that. Jakob Johnson had a couple nice blocks, I thought, last week. Last night, I did not think he played well.
Then
he
got
dinged up.
Right.
So I think that's part of it. It's a multi-layered blame, if you want. You know, offensive line, Sony Michel, no fullback. Maybe the lack of the passing game is now sort of trickling down to the running game, and there's no fear of anything on the field. There's a lot of issues, but right now they're just running the ball at a not very productive
rate. Terrible. 3.5 is Sony Michel's average, and it's also the team's average, because obviously he clearly leads the team in carries.
And he even had a nice long run to kind of sway the numbers last night.
Yeah,
it went from an awful day to, 25 or 6 yard run makes it look better in the final numbers. It wasn't that good.
617-779-7937. Kiefer Madness coming up at 12:30. Our week in review. We will bring back Michael Irvin. For those of you who normally like to listen to Michael, he had to join us very early on in the program because he's in London and production meetings and all that stuff. So at about 1:10, somewhere in there, we'll bring Michael Irvin back because he was very funny this morning. So that's coming up as well. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart and Time to Train.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries, so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a false sense of security Friday.
Name change for False Count Anywhere Friday. False sense of security Friday.
False sense of security Friday.
That might work.
Woo-wee! And then it takes me forever to get home on Friday.
With Dale and Keith on Boston Sports Station. WEEI.
40-yard try by Nugent. With his eighth different team in the NFL.
We're going to play Ted Nugent behind every Mike Nugent highlight as long as he's here.
Should I admit something?
No.
Last week on...
Just keep it to yourself.
Thumbs up, thumbs down that I post every game.
It's not stock up, stock down or whatever it used to
be. No, that's proprietary
Patriots.com. So this is just thumbs up, thumbs down.
May have posted that on the thumbs down after missing a PAT was Ted Nugent.
Oh, did you put Ted?
Yes.
Don't.
What an idiot.
It's all right. I'm going to take Mike Nugent off the hook for last night because Jake Bailey screwed him.
He's part of the problem with that, but I don't take him off the hook because every one of those kicks was just squeaking inside the left upright.
Well, the extra points were ugly.
No, I'm just talking about that one.
The field goal,
just that one,
which was 40 yards on the nose. You
in the win.
40 in, Nugent should be able to hit a pretty high percentage of. He just should. Further than that, if you want to say, you know what, we're going to go for it or whatever, that's fine. That's
what was the one they went for early? What was the fourth and one?
That would have been 39-yarder. It would have been less than 40, I think.
37 yards.
Were they on the 20?
That's the 29.
Oh, then that would have been a 40-plus yarder then.
Jake does know about the laces thing, right?
The laces.
I feel like he's probably been told. Although Joe Judge is the special teams coach, but he's coaching the receivers.
Busy. He's got
things
other
could
stuff
fall
going
through
on.
The cracks.
The laces could not have been more in. It was like, let's make sure. Oh, did you say you want to kick the
you
laces?
You want to kick it
you
on
want your
the
foot
laces?
To kick the Which laces? Because I can do that for you.
Is at least the second time he's done that in six games.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I will tell you that there were some folks I talked to who, not trying to take Stephen Gostkowski completely off the hook, said the holds have been an issue.
That hold. Now, it's funny because Jake Bailey can't be great at everything. He can punt the hell out of it. He can kick off like a son of a gun. Can't hold. Can't hold for crap, apparently.
I feel like you need to get better in that area, though, son.
I think you do. And I've always said, on an extra point, I really don't think the hold should matter that much. Like a 33-yard field goal and anything in, as long as the ball's down, shouldn't really matter where the laces are. But, you know, 40-yard field goal, maybe spin the laces out. Give your guy a chance a little bit. And he didn't. And Nugent just smashes the upright. So it's been a missed kick in each of the two games. He is 8 of 9. They're ugly, but he's 8 of 9 on extra points so far.
That's what we're giving him credit
for. He's flirting with it. Yeah, listen, the bar is very low. You lose your kicker and you have to go to the free agent pile of kickers, the expectation is going to be low.
I have giggled every time when the PA announcer in the press box says not an extra point. Because the old days it was an extra point. You just kind of gut it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's a try now because they don't always get it.
Every time the Patriots line up to kick now, for the rest of the year, whether it's Mike Nugent or somebody else.
Coup.
You can't, like, get up and go get another beer. Remember forever, the extra point? Scored a touchdown?
Time of the game
I'm
going
to go
you.
To the kitchen. Right.
It was important.
Well,
there was
that whole thank God, finally, I could get up and go. The offense just did a great job.
PAT, timeout, kickoff, timeout. People complained about those commercial breaks.
And then it
now you
got to
watch.
It was once in a blue moon, you'd come walking back into the room, and the person you're watching the game with looks at you and goes, they missed the kick.
Right.
Like, once in a blue moon, you're like, wait a minute, what? And it didn't happen to the Patriots for years.
Now it's like most Patriots games start 7-6.
Yeah.
Nope, two field goals. Nope, not at all. It's
you're right.
PAT.
Always does. And you got to stick around. You're like, oh, here we go. And all these guys, they're all head cases. They all get the ball lined up on the hash. And you're like, kick it straight. He's got it on the hash, and he's like barely sneaking it in. If you line up down the middle, you'll knock it down the middle.
Yeah,
what are they doing?
I stand by my prediction. He will not finish the
year.
No. How much of the decision-making last night was you don't have any confidence in Nugent, and how much of it was it's a freaking raging gale out here?
Well, it was interesting because Bill was talking about how it was mostly across the field towards his bench. It was pushing things in that direction, and that both teams were able to sort of drive the ball in both directions on kickoffs and touchbacks and all that. So I think part of it was definitely the wind. Nugent's first game at Gillette Stadium, hasn't ever really dealt with whatever the swirl or the open end or the closed end and the differences and sort of some of that. But I think some of it is just, I don't know how you could have a lot of confidence.
Because you would think with how good this defense is and the struggles that the offense has, take 3 points.
Right.
3 points.
Game over.
It's going to look like the Giants look at it like, man, we're going to have to get a special teams touchdown or something because we're not going to be able to move the ball. So even if it's not ideal, you want to score a touchdown every time, but if you end a couple of possessions with field goals, that's you're going to win games that way.
But it's also a symbolic 3rd and 1, 4th and 1. We're going to need to get this yard some year.
Yeah.
If we can't get this yard, what kind of team are we?
Right, and you're putting it on the offensive line, the running backs. You're like, hey, look, we have faith in you guys, even though we shouldn't.
And then they said, good luck defense as they jogged off the
field. Sorry, you guys probably have a better chance of scoring anyway.
Really, much better
they
chance.
They do.
617-779-7937. Jim's down in Daytona Beach. Hey, Jim.
Good morning, gentlemen. A few minutes ago, you were talking about the running game, and my thought here is, when do you think they might try Damian Harris at running back? Sony Michel, he's a really good running back, but you know what? There's no more Gronk. There's no more Mike Andrews. There's no more Devlin. And he needs those holes, Sony does, and he's not getting them. Seems like what I recall in preseason, Damian Harris had a little more power. He was kind of built a little lower, had a little more strength. So my thought to you, gentlemen, is what do you think about Damian Harris getting an opportunity.
I'm surprised that he hasn't
active.
With well, do you want the boring answer or
pass block?
No, we'd probably like to avoid.
What's
the boring answer?
The boring answer is I think the availability of Brandon Bolden keeps Damian Harris inactive. You have a guy who's a core special teamer, always going to be there. Yeah.
But there's not a spot.
And he's a backup. They don't have roster spots. I don't know. Ask Ben Watson.
So
they don't have a lot of those right now.
But when Rex Burkhead is active,
yes.
Who's the guy that played last night that doesn't, or who is active last night that isn't active? I mean, off the top of your head, it's tough.
I mean, it's not a running back. It's not an offensive player.
But that's my point, is whoever that is, I just thought the last 2 weeks it would have been an even swap. Rex Burkhead's out. Damian Harris is in. And by the way, the caller's right. Damian Harris did look pretty good in the preseason. Damian Harris was
a pretty
high draft pick, though.
Right.
For
third
a
round
back.
Pick, yep.
And he shared a backfield with Josh Jacobs at Alabama. Yep. And that guy's killing it this year with the Raiders.
And he was a 2-time 1,000-yard rusher at Alabama.
I'd give him a chance.
Something smells funny to me.
I thought you were going to say, like, he can't pass block.
Well,
that's
who cares?
They, say, but, well,
they don't
they
pass
do.
When Sony's on the field.
They
Although
actually
he had
did,
a really
and then he screwed
nice,
up, and then realized that's why they don't.
No, he screwed up the one, and then he had a nice pickup the second time where he, like, upended a guy. But I also think it just feels weird. I've felt this way since
the beginning of
training camp. Yes. Didn't get reps on the field in practice. Didn't get reps in the preseason except the one preseason game where he looked pretty good. And the caller's right. He is a shorter stock. He's yoked. He's jacked. Looks like a powerful running back.
Yeah.
And yet, he was active for one game, the game where James White had a kid. He took that roster spot,
right.
Played like four plays on special teams, did nothing. And something feels weird. I don't know if it's a football feels weird where, like, he just doesn't get pass protection. We give him one protection and he's like, he doesn't understand it, which I find hard to believe coming out of an NFL-like system that Alabama. That
tough,
Nick Saban never asked
like
him.
This feels like a redshirt year, doesn't it?
It feels, it or maybe they does. Don't like his work ethic, or is that, like, it just feels
Listen,
weird.
Every offensive guy they drafted, it's basically a redshirt year.
Right. But the boring answer is Brandon Bolden being here means you automatically have your second running back.
And I always can't believe it.
By the way, he runs pretty well.
Yep.
No, he does.
Touchdown 3 straight weeks.
And I can't believe it. I'm like, Brandon Bolden's involved in the offense? That's not a good sign. But to his credit, he's actually made the most of it.
And even
he's pretty good.
They ran a screen pass to Sony Michel, which I thought was set up nicely. Michel got like nothing. Then very quickly thereafter, they ran a screen pass to the left side to Bolden. I thought he got more out of it. Bolden is producing. He's looked pretty good.
Is.
Like, it is what it is. And they love him, too.
Well,
they
clearly,
love him.
Yeah, clearly.
They love him.
Yeah.
It's BB, you know. BB's BB.
I don't know that I don't know that I'd want to play football with all that hair hanging down. People can grab that, you know. It's legal.
They can.
Oh, yeah.
They have.
Seems like it would just slow you down and be annoying, too. I say that with all of them, though. Why would you want that long
hair? Well, like all those guys, like, it's got to be comfortable in the helmet, like the whole thing. Like, I don't know. It's
a player safety issue.
Yes.
Is that helmet fitting the same as like a guy with a shaved head? No, can't be as tight.
I bet it's not.
Not healthy.
Nope.
Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, happy Friday, guys.
Yes.
You too.
Okay, I also noticed last night that James White really wasn't in the game plan all that much last night. And in 2 weeks, N'Keal Harry comes off IR. Is he ready to go?
Does he
still need time to heal?
So James White did have 11 touches yesterday.
Right.
That's
nine targets.
Right.
Caught all nine passes thrown his way. So almost a quarter of Brady's targets went to James White.
But in the second half, though, he was pretty much on the sidelines, I noticed.
Yeah, it was a little weighted towards the first half.
Yep, you're right. You're right about that. And then we thought he had a touchdown there for a second. That was the right call, though. He didn't get in there. But, yeah, I could always go for more James White. It's like there's never enough James White.
See, I can't, and it's got nothing to do with like. I think he's a really good player. Yeah, I think if James White has 15 targets in October,
they won a Super Bowl that way.
James White will do what he's done a lot of times and sort of fade. It's a Super Bowl. This isn't the Super Bowl in October. Yes, I'm going to empty the tank.
I just said
because what you said just hit me. It was like a delayed response a few seconds there.
I believe it's an NFL record.
Yeah, it's a Super Bowl.
That's pretty good.
We're all in.
It's been 50-something Super Bowls.
You do
players,
anything you can to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and they do.
You don't need to lay it out on the field on October whatever at Gillette Stadium.
Calm down.
Don't get him banged up. I'd like to actually have him in the Super Bowl.
Relax.
Jeez.
N'Keal Harry, meanwhile, I expect zero from. To answer your question, why? You said something stinks. Something was not right early on with him anyway. And then a rookie receiver, I think, would have a more difficult time even week one. And now you're going to throw him in midseason. And they're going to add somebody. Maybe it's Antonio Brown again. Probably not, but maybe. Maybe it's Emmanuel Sanders. Maybe it's Diggs. Jacoby Myers is at least catching some passes right now.
Gunner.
There's too many guys ahead of N'Keal Harry.
I would agree.
The post-game picture of Gunner. And we've tweeted out somebody has photoshopped in addition to it.
Yeah, he's...
The snakeskin boots and the jeans and the tank top and the Bass Pro Shops.
He's got a sponsorship deal there?
Ball cap. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
And he
it.
Looks like he weighs 112 pounds.
Ooh, he's a little bit of a guy.
Yeah. And I can't help it, but I look at him and I just see a guy that in like 4 years could be sitting on a porch in the South somewhere telling people about his time with a locker four stalls down from Tom Brady when he was returning punts for the Patriots, who were 6-0.
I'm like, I don't believe you.
Is this guy drinking again?
He played for the New England Patriots.
Yeah, sure you did.
And I'll say this, man.
You got that moonshine.
He's got big ones, big brass ones, because he puts himself in positions where he knows he's getting crushed.
Fine line between balls and stupidity, Dale.
You got horse balls.
Excuse me?
Yeah, That was Wiggy's phrase.
His assessment of Gunner.
Why can you say that?
I don't know.
You couldn't say the other part.
Well, depending on how you worded it, yes, you could.
Should we try?
Nope.
You mean you can say berries, but you can't say twigs? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, kinda.
Yeah, you can. If you use like the scientific term for it.
I can?
No, don't do this.
I don't know.
Because now he'll feel he wants to.
I know. Well, clearly he does.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dope Handy Hart over here. Trying to... Exactly. He's in the house with us, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And last question will be Ryan Hannibal.
Bill, what'd you see from Jacoby and Gunner last night in their first extended time, and what have they been doing behind the scenes to get themselves ready for the opportunity?
Right. Well, both players, as you said, did take an opportunity to play a little more last night. Some good things, certainly a lot of things we need to work on, things we need to improve, techniques and just coaching points. Both those kids work hard, and they're both trying really hard. They're getting better.
I just like the fact that last question goes to Ryan Hannibal.
Nailed
nice
it.
Nice job.
Wanted to talk about Bubba Sparks there, the post game.
What?
Gunner?
His name is Bubba Sparks?
Yeah.
I don't even know who Bubba Sparks is. I've heard the name.
Oh, God.
Dale,
I forgot that Andy
Dale,
Hart
do you know who Bubba Sparks is?
That is the singer of the song Ms. New Booty, believe it or not, Andy.
Yeah, he's good at that. Yeah, he's good at that.
Excuse me?
All right, so here's my take from earlier. Actually, this was like last week. When was this? This is a...
Recycled take.
Yeah, but I want to get your thoughts on it. Okay. I've already run it by Dale and the rest of the guys here. Shyam, when did I have this take? Feels like months ago.
I think it was Monday.
Was it? No. Monday? Stop.
I think it was Monday.
It was a long time ago. It was way before Monday. Anyway, my take is Michael Bennett does not finish the year with the Patriots.
Why?
Because he's playing less every single week. It's not even one of these things where it's kind of going up and down and you can make an excuse about matchup or whatever. I think it started with 57% of the snaps in week one, and then it's been a steady decline each week. And we're only 6 weeks in. Oh, by the way, the defense looks amazing every week. So it's not like, oh, they look better when he's out there. They look whatever. They're good regardless.
He had 11 snaps last night.
11. 11 snaps last night.
Down from 14 the week before.
And I think it's probably fair to say that Michael Bennett is a better pass rusher than he is run stopper.
Yes.
Right, over the course of his career.
Yes.
Daniel Jones threw the ball 31 times. The team only ran it 16. So you can't say, well, they're a run team. Like, that wasn't the case. He's playing less every week. I know there is some guaranteed monies tied into him. But if you can save money like they do with Benjamin Watson in order to set up another big move down the road, you're barely playing this guy anyway. Plus, out of all the guys they have on the defensive front, I'm sure they all want to play all the time, but only one of them is a three-time Pro Bowler and has the career that Michael Bennett has. I can't imagine he's going to be thrilled with this role as it continues to diminish. And you can't get less in another couple of weeks at this pace. It's just going to be inactive. Right? Yes. Like, where else can you go?
Yeah, the arrow has been very consistent in the downward direction.
So I don't think there's anything like, oh, they hate him or anything like that. No, it's just they are using other guys. They don't really feel like they need him. And there might be some sort of mutual parting of the ways where, hey, we tried it here. It didn't work. And we're gonna see you later. Now, maybe there's a trade. You can do that. Or you just simply cut him.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the numbers quick, I don't think you save much money. $4 million signing bonus, that would be over the next 2 years, so $2 million guaranteed for this
year. Right, because I know they redid his contract when he got here.
And a roster bonus of $1.5 million, which stays on the cap. So that's $3.5 million you're going to be charged for him no matter what.
Would you save anything?
His salary, at whatever point you cut his salary, it's a $3 million salary, so if he plays half the games, you'd save that $1.5 million off the back end.
Even though his salary's guaranteed. As a vested veteran, his salary's guaranteed for the year.
Because he was on the...
It is, but there's also, you can only do that once in your career. I don't think he's utilized that out yet. You can only claim that benefit essentially once in your career. So that's, I don't think you save much money by moving on from him.
I wonder how he's going to handle
it. Now, you could trade the salary.
That's what I'm wondering. Maybe a team, because it's not like, I don't think he can't play.
Rather, so why isn't he playing?
Good question.
Now, Bill talked about this week. I'm sure you guys listened to a little bit of that, I think, on Wednesday.
So one thing we've heard, and I do not know the answer if he's doing this, but one thing we've heard in the past is if guys freelance, like the freelance thing might have been what cost Jamie Collins his spot here originally.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's true or not.
I actually thought of that, by the way. That's a segment you guys should do. It'd take a little freelance research. Go play all the comments and reactions to Jamie Collins when he left, how Michael Lombardi was describing him.
I
play the guy. He's a one-down player. He freelances. Well, now he looks like he's a freaking defensive player of the year that can play all three downs and is called the boogeyman.
Listen, I thought it was dumb. I hated it at the time. But my point is, remember when Chris Long was here, and he really wasn't great, didn't make a whole lot of plays, and as soon as he got a chance to leave, he did.
Right.
And he even talked about it. William McGinnis has talked about it. Now, that's the other end of it, where William McGinnis had a borderline Hall of Fame career, but even he says, I would have had more sacks if I played somewhere else.
Sure.
And I wonder if Michael Bennett, they're like, hey, this is what we want you to do on this play. And he's like, well, that's not very exciting.
And that's what he's played in. I mean, Philadelphia is an up-the-field, go-get-em kind of defense.
Yeah.
Seattle is sort of that type of defense. But why is he not even getting more in that role? As you said, they're playing from ahead. There's pass situations.
I know. You would think there would be all kinds of pass situations. But
all right, let me run a theory by
you. Dale's got a theory. Do we have a sounder for Dale's theory?
No,
we
don't need to. We're working on one. Yeah. Oh, there it is.
Dale theory.
Perfect.
We don't
need one.
Those
we have
guys
one.
Over
guys
there.
Rolling on
I'm
that?
Like the guy from Police Academy. Just bring my own.
So Michael Winslow?
Is it possible that Bill Belichick knows that, first of all, they've got a very good defense. They rotate a lot of guys in.
20, Bill says.
Yeah. This guy, and who else plays 20, he says.
Nobody.
Really. And this guy is an older veteran player. Let's make sure we preserve him because we're more worried about what he gives us in December, January, February.
I'd be on board with that if it felt like Bennett was on board, and it doesn't.
No, he's
talking
about the zero role.
And,
yeah.
Oh, I'm just kidding. No, you're not. Because, a little bit of truth in every joke.
If that is Belichick's plan, I don't think he communicated it with Bennett.
No. And Bill is not a great communicator with players at times. Like, he's sort of nuts and bolts. What you need to know is what you'll know. Otherwise, just play. I also say, do you remember when he arrived late, Michael Bennett, from Hawaii?
Yeah.
And that first press conference was about...
He had something personal he had to take care of, and Belichick stood up
let
for him.
And he said, you know, I'll do anything for this guy now, because the way he treated me as a man and saw me as a man.
Yeah.
And now he's six games, five games in, saying, it. Yo, what, my zero roll? Oh, no, I'm just kidding. No, don't write that. Yeah, no, just kidding.
Well, the other point, too, Dale, is if, and maybe he's trying to save something in the, you know, for Michael Bennett later in the year, wouldn't you want to apply that same logic to Julian Edelman? Like, I would want to maybe
ease up on
anybody
else.
Well, but you need
position.
Julian. You take Julian off the field, and we're no longer talking about how you're 6-0
and
cruising.
You're 6-0. What? Yeah, you're 6-0.
I don't know
the
about
teams
that
you played, you might not cover the spread every night, but you are.
Till they started feeding the ball to him last week, offense didn't look that good.
Defense
needed to feed it to him yesterday.
I know, but
I think you might have a loss if you were not playing Julian Edelman.
So maybe you're 5-1, but maybe Edelman's healthier by the end of the year.
Maybe.
That's still that's
or maybe he
more
takes
important.
Advantage of this extended break and he's fine.
Maybe he will. I don't love his
I win!
Chances. Every time he
I
gets
am the
up,
winner!
Every time he gets up off the field, it feels like he's like trying to relearn how to breathe, so I don't love that.
Which order do I inhale and exhale? How does this go?
Like, Edelman,
that's wrong, backwards. 617-779-7937. Right back to the calls with you guys. Kiefer Madness, bottom of the hour. It is our week in review. Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.